Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? Everybody enjoying the sunshine? Yeah. Everybody enjoying your air conditioners? Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just rejoice in your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to do here today. Lord, touch our hearts. Fill your lambs, Lord. Fill your lambs. We're here eagerly waiting for that filling, Lord. For your presence. Lord, open heaven up for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. And all the time. Yeah, I heard something on the radio, a song by, I'd never heard them before, a gospel group called the Lohr Family. And they did a song called Hidden Blessings, and one of the lines in the song got my attention. We can't really know mercy until we've been broken. We're going to be talking about Peter today and David. I'm going to start by reading Psalm 51. Most of it, I'm going to not read the last two verses because they don't really apply, I don't think. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. And be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. David's great psalm of repentance. You can feel it in his words, can't you? He meant it. Luke 22:31-34. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me. If you read on a little further in Luke 22:54-62, we see that Jesus had been arrested. Peter was standing by the fire outside in the courtyard where Jesus was. And three times he denied him. Three times. And after he denied him the third time, the cock crowed. And he looked up and he saw Jesus looking at him. How do you think he felt? He said he went out. It says he went out and he wept bitterly. You know, Jesus was probably quite some distance away from him, yet he knew where Peter was. He looked right at him. First Corinthians 15:1-7 was our opening scripture. And I'm going to tie all this together. Hopefully. We'll find out, won't we? You'll be the first to know. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory that I preached unto you, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The Bible tells us in John chapter 20 about Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to her first, right after he rose from the grave. And we are told of his appearance to the two travelers on the road to Emmaus, to the disciples in the upper room, to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, and also his appearance to a lot of people at his ascension 40 days after his resurrection. The Bible, of course, is significant when it speaks, but it's also significant when it's silent. Luke 24:34. After the travelers had returned from Emmaus to Jerusalem the same night, and this was the night that Jesus rose from the grave, the night after, or that same day. And Luke 24:34, they told about their encounter with Jesus, and the disciples said, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." Once again, that's Peter. When did that happen? This was before the Sea of Galilee. This was before the upper room. When did Jesus appear to Simon? What was said? What did they talk about? Can you imagine Peter's excitement when he heard the news about the resurrection? He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Oh, I denied him. I let him down. If you were Peter, how would you be feeling? What would you be thinking? His world was shattered still, wasn't it? When you let someone down, will anything ever be the same? Will the relationship ever be reestablished? Have you ever let down the Lord? I have. I remember not long after I came back from back to the Lord. This is in 1991. And I had a job, a temporary job. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but it was because the business closed down. And I delivered laundry in Central Oregon. And I drove a van. And I was asked to give another worker a ride home. And I went out and I got into the van, and the first thing I did was turn the radio down. The radio would have been playing Christian music. Now, why did I do that? I felt like I fell 12 stories after I did that. But God is good, isn't he? Was I ashamed of my Lord? I decided it wasn't going to happen again. What affects a conscience more? Instruments of punishment? Or maybe the presence of divine love? Which is more apt to melt a heart with conviction? Jesus asked a question. He said, who will love more? The answer was, the one that is forgiven more. Ezekiel 16:63. Thou shalt remember and be ashamed and confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy sins when I am pacified towards thee for all that thou hast done. In the Old Testament, in Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, we read about King David's great sin. And the Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, was written in regards to that. After David had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. Nathan said to him, pointing his finger at him, thou art the man. And it hit David pretty hard because he realized what he'd done. He said, I have sinned before the Lord. You notice in the Psalm 51, it says, against you and you alone have I sinned. Well, what about Bathsheba? What about Uriah the Hittite? No, it's against the Lord. Yes, those people are really just collateral damage, aren't they? David knew what he had done, but it was really brought home to him when he was confronted by Nathan. Realization set in. Yes, David knew what he had done. Peter knew what he had done too, didn't he? In Luke 22, after Peter had been told by the Lord that he would deny him three times, Peter said, that will never happen. It's not going to happen. Sometimes our pride gets the best of us, doesn't it? I think that was Peter's main problem. See, it did happen. And then Peter looked up from that fire and looked at Jesus, and Jesus was looking at him after he had denied him the third time. Then he went and wept bitterly. Bitterly, that means with anguish. It's not just sobbing and crying. He's pouring his heart out because of what he'd done. Peter knew what he had done. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Why should we be surprised to hear that the Lord appeared to Peter when he did? He's always near to those with a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. He will not despise, it says. We aren't told what was said, are we? Why is that? You know, we can probably guess pretty much how the conversation went, though, can't we? There's only one thing that a remorseful sinner can say to a Savior. Lord, I'm sorry. I let you down. And there's only one thing that that Savior will then say to a remorseful sinner. You're forgiven. Have you been there? Have you experienced that forgiveness? So, why didn't anyone say anything about this conversation? Seems like it would be important, doesn't it? Why didn't Peter say anything about it in his writings? He didn't. If you read the book of Acts, there's a couple of places where he accused other people of denying the Lord. And I can imagine when he was saying that, that his voice might have been cracking just a little bit. Because he knew he'd been there too. Why didn't anybody else say anything? Because it didn't involve anybody else, did it? It was between Peter and his master. It was between a sinner and his Savior. Privileged communication. It didn't involve anybody else. Is the Bible true? Amen, someone said. Yes, the Bible's true. I'd like you to think about something. The doctrine of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is at the very heart of Christianity, isn't it? It's our foundation. It's everything we believe in. It's the basis for it. If the Bible wasn't true, if it were fiction, if the crucifixion and the resurrection came out of somebody's imagination, then how would they have handled this incident with Peter, between Peter and the Lord? They'd have been all over it, wouldn't they? They'd have written everything they could about it. So actually the silence, and that's what happened, it actually helps to prove even more the truthfulness of the Bible and the truthfulness of this event, doesn't it? The private meeting between Jesus and Peter took place to restore Peter to the faith, back into a relationship with the Lord. We see another encounter in John chapter 21. Feed my sheep. That was to restore Peter back into the ministry, back into his calling, into his office that the Lord had appointed him to. What happens when God forgives us? Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I will remember your sins no more. Micah 7:19, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Another translation says, you will again have compassion on us, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Psalm 103:10-14, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That also was a Psalm of David. He knew about forgiveness and repentance, didn't he? You You know, the life of David is written about in two places in the Bible. It's written about in the book of Samuel, and it's also written about in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles was written 400 or 500 years after. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 3. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Of course, we all know what happened after that, don't we? He committed adultery with her. And then when she ended up pregnant, he sent for her husband and sent him back and had him killed. That's 2 Samuel chapter 11. In chapter 12, verse 26, it continues what it started saying in the first part of that. It finishes it. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. All this happened, it was like a parenthetic that happened between talking about Joab and the battle. And then it goes back to Joab and the battle. As I said, this is also, David is also talked about in 1 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time the kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. Sounds familiar? We just read pretty much word for word that, didn't we? Then it goes on. And Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. And David took the crown of the king from off his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set upon David's head. You notice there's something missing. David's sin isn't talked about, is it? What happened? Why not? Because as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he casts our sin. God remembered it no more. Spears family did a song called "What Sin Are You Talking About?" I don't remember it anymore. So what does it say instead of talking about David's sin? It says that he was given a crown with jewels on it. Aren't we going to get a crown when we go to heaven? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not going to have condemnation. We're going to receive a crown. Just like David. In Chronicles, there was no condemnation for him. There was a crown. Paul in Romans 5:20 says, "Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound." No condemnation, but a crown. Where would we be without God's forgiveness? Where would we be without a merciful God that loves us enough? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His love, his mercy, his forgiveness, and our future. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, most of all for your love and your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that someday we're going to stand before you. And Lord, those crowns aren't really going to mean that much because we're going to cast them down. Because we didn't earn them. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, just help us. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in a way, Lord, that brings honor to your name, that brings honor to what you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to be everything you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you touch everybody here with your spirit, with your love. I pray, Lord, that you just continue to make us into what you want us to be. He that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it till the end. Lord, make it so. We trust you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Go with us today, Lord, and bless our day and be blessed in everything we do. Bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.